We are in a little series leading up to Pentecost called The Spirit-Led Life. And Nick started us off last week. Really great job. If you didn't get to hear that, I would recommend going to citychurchfairmont.com and listening. So I have the next installment and then next week. But we're moving toward Pentecost, and we want to talk about being Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. And today, our message title is Empowered for God's Redemptive Purposes. Yes. I'd like to ask Ed to go ahead and, on the back is our scripture. Go ahead, Ed.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations.
And this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We're here to be a catalyst to mobilize the whole community for God's purposes, which is to help people. I have a line here. We're going to tell the story first, and we'll move on to the fill in the blank. Listen to this, guys. We're here to synergize the altruistic impetus. What the world is that? Help me know what synergize means. To work together. And altruistic is the opposite of egotistic. Egotistic is self-serving. Altruistic is other-serving. And impetus means forward movement, the potential impact. And we are here to synergize the altruistic impetus. In other words, we're here to help others that don't even know the Lord begin to be a blessing in His name. Isn't that great? That's why we're here. Go ahead and tell somebody. I'll get to this. Let me go ahead and say, how many of you realize that the culture has changed? It used to be that Christianity had a greater influence. Is that right? And when someone goes into another country, what are they called? A missionary representing Jesus, right? Not a tourist. And now it looks like we're missionaries. Go ahead and say, I'm a missionary. Tap somebody next to you and say, you're a missionary now. Because God has big things He wants to do. And He has our devotion to Him and our determination to bless and develop people who are made in His image is our bottom line here. So I want us to look at a little story here. In 1908, newly commissioned missionaries John and Leslie Perkins were on board a steamship rounding the coast of Liberia. They knew God had called them to Africa, but like Abraham, they didn't know exactly where God wanted them to go. So they purchased tickets and trusted that God would tell them when they got there, what to do. As the ship made its way around Garraway Point, they sensed the Holy Spirit was prompting them to get off the ship. Unknown to the Perkins, there was a young man living in the region named Jasper Toe. He was a God-fearing man who practiced the religious ritual passed down by his ancestors, but he had never heard the name of Jesus. And one night, he looked up in the night sky and he prayed a simple prayer, "If there is a God in heaven, help me find you." And as Jasper stood under the stars, a voice spoke to him. And it said, get this, go to Garraway Beach. You will see a box on the water with smoke coming out of it. From there, the box on the water will come people in a small box. And these people in this small box will tell you how to find me. Jasper Toe traveled 7 days on foot to Garraway Beach, arriving on Christmas Day, 1908. From the shore, he saw a black box. A steamship floating on the water with smoke coming out of it. And that is when John Perkins and his wife sensed the Holy Spirit saying, get off the ship here. This is where I want you to go. And when they went to the captain of the ship, he asked him and asked him to let him off the ship. He says, I can't let you off the boat here. This is cannibal country. People go in there and they never come back. But John Perkins insisted, God wants us to get off this boat. The captain brought the steamship to a halt, and the Perkins were placed in a manny chair, and they swung them down on the side of the ship and got into a canoe along with all their belongings, and they rowed to shore in the little box. Where they got to the shore, when they got there, Jasper Toe was waiting to welcome. He motioned for them to follow him, and they did. They could not speak each other's languages. But the Perkins followed Jasper all the way to his village. They eventually learned the language of the people there. They started the first church in that village, and Jasper Toe was their first convert. Those who knew Jasper Toe describe him as one of the godliest men they ever met, and his legacy is hundreds of churches he helped to establish in the country of Liberia. What if the Perkins had ignored the prompting of the Holy Spirit? What if they would have dismissed the idea that was God's idea as a bad idea? What if they had, instead of saying, why not? What if they said, why? And let fear dominate them. What if they thought, let's just stay on the ship. It's safer here. Now, we all know, Nick put it out last week, that our broken relationship with God is why we're broken in our life. Brokenness in our life is why we're broken in our relationships with one another. And the goal is God wants us to address that brokenness, bring us along, and reestablish our relationship with Him to heal us so we can heal relationships around us. Amen? That's our goal, right? And we just read the verse of Scripture that Jesus read from his scroll before he started his ministry. Went right back to Nazareth. He found it in the scroll. He opened it up and he read Isaiah 61. And we just read it 1 through 4. And it says, the opening two lines there say, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. For the Spirit of the Lord, what is that? Now, in Revelation, there's this really odd thing, you know. Have you ever read the book of Revelation before? In verses, I think, 1, 4, verse 3, 1, verse 4, chapter 4, 5, and chapter 5, verse 6, it says this thing about the seven spirits of the Lord. Kind of a weird stuff. Seven spirits. Isn't there one spirit? Yes, but there are seven applications. And in Isaiah 11, verse 2, it says this, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's one. And the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So that's what he's talking about. The full orb ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. And it begins with the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. That's a name. Now, all these others have different factors, but the Spirit of the Lord has an interesting impact to it. Because we see in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is. Can anybody say the rest of that verse? There's what?
Liberty.
There's liberty. The function of the Spirit of the Lord. Why does it say Spirit of the Lord? It's because it's the Spirit of Lordship. And Jesus Christ is Lord over all spirits. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes, there is authority over every other spirit. A lording over, the Spirit of the Lord lords over every other spirit that would get in your way. Praise the Lord. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. And that's a really interesting word because it just means, anointing just means to smear. And in the Old Testament, they would take oil and they would smear it on objects in the temple to set these objects apart for God. Or they would take the oil and they would smear it on the priests, their thumb and their toe and their head, their ear, the right ear. Or how many remember Samuel? Samuel got a big old horn of oil and got David, and finally they got the out from the field, and he came in and he poured a whole horn of oil. I wonder what that felt like that night. David probably slid out of his bed. He was oiled up. And he was set apart by the anointing, smeared and declared. Now, this word anointing is where we get the word Messiah. Messiah, the anointed one. So this decree, this declaration says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This lordship spirit overwhelms all other spiritual entities. And he has anointed me, which means he set me apart. Go ahead and elbow somebody and say, you know you're set apart for God, don't you? You're set apart. Go ahead, you're set apart. You need to understand this about our identity, because most people, they come and they start, well, I heard one guy put it this way. See, listen, the gospel, I'm going to get right down here. The gospel is all about being bonded to Jesus Christ and him being everything in your life. Everything. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. Every page of the Old Testament is about him coming. And then he comes. God comes in the flesh. And he dies for a sin and rises again. And we are to fall in love with him and be his God and be covenantly bound to him. And the same spirit that's upon him comes upon us. I heard somebody recently describe it the way that instead of the gospel of Jesus, people play around with the plan of salvation. And the plan of salvation is not about bonding to Jesus. It's about getting what Jesus provides. Hey, if you'll follow this little pathway, he'll forgive you of your sins. And then you go on about living your life the way you want to, but you got a little dabble, do you? And somebody described that as vampires. They just drink a little blood. Christian vampires drink a little blood and just go on their way. I'm saved, living all for themselves. May the Holy Spirit's power of conviction come to our life and say our life is not our own. For we were bought with a price. Are you there? Some of you are like those little dogs in the back of the car with your heads bouncing up and down. And I want us to, we're going to come to a point of communion today, and I want to invite you to sell out. I want to invite you to sell out. Jesus sold out. We've said this in the past, but Jesus is not coming for a bride who's sleeping with somebody else. He's not coming for a bride that's all sullied up and in love with the world. He's coming for a bride that is sold out to him. Are you there? So, let's look at the first point. Who are we sent to? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's anointed me. And then it goes on and it declares, bring good news to the poor, send me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening the prison for those who are bound, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful headdress instead of ashes, oil of gladness for mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit there, they may be called oaks of righteousness. It goes on. So what I did is to identify the profile. Let's take the profile of who Jesus says we're coming for. Okay? Does that sound good? How many of you know you're a kingdom person called to fulfill God's purpose? Okay, I had about three people say, yeah, I know that. Okay. Okay, kingdom people called to fulfill God's redemptive purpose. Empowered for God's redemptive purpose. That's why we're here. Okay? Look at the profile. These are the people receiving ministry. Poor, brokenhearted, captive, bound, mourning. When it says ashes, just say burned out. Everybody say burned out. Faint spirit, devastated. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have been any one of those things at any time? Has anybody ever been devastated before? Faint-hearted, mourning. How about just burned out? How just poor in any way possible? Sometimes financially, sometimes just relationally poor. Poor, poor, poor. Broken-hearted, bound, can't get free from something, captive, stuck. That's probably a good one. Stuck and you can't fix it. You've tried fixing it. You've read all the self-help books, and you're still you, and you can't get free of you. And there's stuff that just seems to be locked onto you, and you're chained up, and you're in prison, and you can't get free. What in the world is going on? Guess what? You're who the Spirit of the Lord is resting upon Jesus for, You're who he's anointed for. Hallelujah. And he has come in the power of his Spirit to liberate and heal and set free that person from their captivity. Praise the Lord. So let's look at number two. How do we minister to them? How do we minister to them? How do we serve them? There you go. How do we serve them? Now, of course, we know the passage that says, even a cup of water, given in the a simple thing is a cup of water. We're talking about practical service, but in this way, when people are broken, devastated, bound, there's a list of things that we're to do. Two of them actually have the word proclaim in them. Look at your notes there. This is the ministry that the Spirit of God through Jesus, that came through Jesus and he wants to do through us. To us, we bring good news. We bind up the broken. We proclaim liberty. We open the prison. We proclaim the Lord's favor. We comfort. We give beauty. You know one of the ways you give beauty? Having those places where people get free haircuts and makeup. Nails done. Do you know what a makeover can do for a person? Instill value. That's a real practical way, but when it's done in the name of the Lord for the glory of God, there's an anointing on it. Is that right? How many of you have grieved and have lost, gone through great loss? And there's an oil that the Holy Spirit brings, an oil of gladness that we need from him. That anointing he would smear on us and say, I want you to be relieved from the pain and pressure that's in your heart right now. How many have had broken relationships? It's grievous, isn't it? The Lord says, I want to comfort you. I want to comfort you. And the essence of this, to me, is this. How do we serve? Would you look at the verse right beneath there? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Has anybody received help? Listen, when you're really under the stress of stuff, you got two options. Turn to the flesh or drive your heart into God. And when you drive your heart into God and you seek him, he begins to release all of these capacities by the Holy Spirit. I have been alone by myself and he set me free from things. By myself, all alone. I confess things before him and ask God to liberate me from it, and that thing goes from my life. I've also done it with help. We have a little saying around here, if it's a pebble, you can push it. If it's a boulder, you may need some help. And we have people that have had boulders pushed off. They've been comforted, and they say, let me pray with you about that. And the agreement rolls the big pressure off your life. Sometimes it's just the scary point of saying, I've really failed in an area I'm embarrassed about. And the Lord says, I'm going to wash you clean. How many of you need that? And he changes our heart. Because, again, everybody, would you do this for me? Just go ahead and put your fingers together, your hands together like that. And just say, I'm bonded with Jesus. Bonded with Jesus. There's something dynamic about, it's grown in my heart for the last several years, where the love that he has for me is more important in my mind than the trying not to sin. We heard a funny illustration the other night. I'm going to just tell you. Robert Morris, he's so funny. He had some little kids coming over for a birthday celebration and with his kids, and he teamed up with his kids to do this little thing. He says he got out there next to the pool, and he says, okay, kids, we're all going to have some fun today. We want you to eat plenty of cake and have some ice cream, and we're going to play in the pool and have some games. Just one thing I don't want you to do. I don't want you to spit in the flower bed here. Don't spit in the flower bed. I want you to have a good time, play, and have God fun. And all these kids just play and eat some ice cream and eat some cake. And they were going to games. But just one thing, don't spit in the flower bed. He did this three times, and then he left. And he went, and he had a place he could look out the curtain, and every kid spit in the flower bed twice. Because it's not thinking about what you're not supposed to do. It's about thinking about the one you're in love with. How many of you don't think of a white elephant? Don't think of a white elephant. Don't think of a white elephant right now. Just don't think of a white elephant. A white elephant? Don't think about that. It doesn't work. You're all got a little white elephant in your head. Right? Think of Jesus. Think of the one who loves you the most. Think of the one who loves you more than anybody. Uncondemning, unconditional love. And that's the spirit you minister and serve somebody else out of. You say, the Lord has helped me out of this. Let me show you. He's comforted me. When I didn't think I could get through it and get unleashed from it, and get, I was such a captive, I was in such a prison, I was so broken, and I've started loving the Lord, and I was in a group of people that were loving the Lord, and we began to move together, and now this stuff is like the old state in the southern way, I got shed of it, and it doesn't have the power it used to have in my life anymore. Because somebody brought me good news. Somebody proclaimed that I could be free. Somebody told me that God's favor was upon my life. Somebody says, I'm going to help you bind up your brokenness. Somebody says, I'm going to help you open the door. And sometimes opening the door for prison from a prison is learning to forgive. Isn't that right? To comfort, receive comfort. This is our marching orders, guys. This is what we are. When we go to people, this is what we carry. Just go ahead and say, I'm a missionary and the Spirit of the Lord is on my life. And He has anointed me, and I proclaim His favor for people. Is that right? Living in that freedom. Now let's go on to number three. What are the results of our ministry? Now here's an interesting understanding I have from this. Because the very last part of that verse says, after all this ministry has been received, it says, they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. In verse 4, they shall build up the ancient ruins. They will raise up former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Here's one thing that you can see the fruitfulness. When you see the results, it's this. How many of you, look up here just for a minute. You know the kingdom of God is being advanced and the results and the fruit are happening when a poor person begins to prosper. When they leave behind the sense of entitlement, because I don't have anything, everybody owes me. They get over that. The kingdom of God has come when someone rises up and begins to prosper out of their poverty. The anointing just came in the room. Because somebody pictures the church. Oh, they're the people that give away stuff to all the poor all the time, and the poor stay poor, and they always keep coming. No, the kingdom is advanced when the poor are no longer poor. And the brokenhearted are healed. And the addicted is free. And he's set out of his prison and he's not captive anymore. And he's walking in the freedom that Jesus Christ, because he's no longer bonded to his idol, he's bonded to the Lord. And he loves the Lord with everything. And what happens with those people? The results are they start building up, raising up, and repairing the ruined places. How many of you begin to get a part of that? It's just I love the way this works. I love the way this works because God identified me in my brokenness. He identified me in all my hurt, in my bondage. And He came to me in the Spirit of the Lord. And He began to work into my life and began to free me. And what happened? What happened? I began to build up the ruined places. Look at this incredible verse. It says, oh my God, it says, they repair the ruined cities. That's why we're down here. There's a ruined city. And you see the fruit and the result of the gospel when God's goal is fulfilled. And it's not that just you get better, but people around you get better. And the reflection of the kingdom of God is not just what happens in here, it's what happens out there. Let's praise Him for just for a minute. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The anointing is upon us to go and be a blessing and to infiltrate That's why we're here. That's why we're walking to make Fairmont shine. There's a common good thing and there's a common grace, but there's also a special grace when you do it for the glory of the Lord. Are you with me? If you give a cup of water or if you pick up a piece of trash in the name of Jesus, there's a residual effect when the believer does it for God's glory. Why are you down here? I just love the Lord. I want to help out. Wow. And it quits being about me, 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 me. Everything about me, me, me. Me, 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 me. Oh, me. The me monster. And you get over that and you say, you know what? I've been comforted. And Jesus has done something in me. You know, Heather and I, oh my gosh. We came and we were just battle bruised. We had no idea when God called us into ministry how deeply flawed. Holy smokes. Really, really bound in so many deep ways. And after a season, God says, okay, now we're going to really do what I called you to do. I've restored you so that the spirit of restoration can not only go into people, it can go into a town. I didn't hear much except for my wife go, hallelujah. Somebody back there, I'm involved. Now, this is what the Lord wants. When a person who's poor, brokenhearted, captive, bound, mourning, devastated, hurt all over the place, becomes an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, where God is bringing God glory, and now that person begins to restore what's around them. Somebody say, hallelujah, that's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. Let's have those that are serving communion come on up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to invite you. We're doing great on time here. I want to invite you to really allow your heart to come to a point of fresh commitment. Would you do that? Can I ask you to do this? Come on, let me have one of these. Everybody say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How many of you know that Jesus memorized scriptures? Jesus memorized some scriptures, didn't he? May I invite you to put the Lord first and open your Word and let the Lord lead you to scriptures that he needs you to memorize. How about that? Everybody say it again. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word was first spoken, and then it was written down so that we could read it and we could speak it, and we would be revived. And that's called mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Because God spoke it, and then he wrote it down so it could go in our mouth and we could speak it. And the word is near you, even in your mouth. Say, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm going to pray. Father God, this way, play with me. Father God, I too am the word become flesh. And you want me to dwell among this people as a living word. That hope is seen in me. That love is seen in me. That Jesus is seen in me. And I receive today this bread, this place of covenant, that you want to express your life. Because as we hold this in our hands, you not only wanted to bring us to heaven, but you wanted to bring heaven to us and manifest heaven through us. And unto that, we partake together. Amen. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, hallelujah. I want to talk about the power of the blood. And the power of the blood does this. I remember after the severe abuse I received, I always had noise on my channel. There was always distraction on the inside of me because of the pain that was raging in my heart for years. I'd walk into a room and I'd have to turn on a radio or something because the noise on the inside, I had to have a distraction. Because of the pain, had a noise to it. And then coming to an understanding of the power of the blood. The power of the blood, this is liquid love and it's perfect love and it casts out. And I learned the ways of forgiveness and learned the ways of taking authority all wrapped up in the cup through the blood. I learned the ways of God and healing, all this. And you know what it did? It canceled the noise. This is called noise cancellation. All the pain on the inside. God says, I'm going to cancel that noise that takes away your peace and brings frustration to you. I'm going to cancel that because I'm going to cancel the sin that started it. I'm going to take out the power and the sting of the hurt. And I'm going to heal the hurt and cancel the noise in your soul and give you my sovereign peace in its place. How many of you know that you'll be tempted to be unforgiving again? And God says, I don't want you just forgiving. I want you to start speaking blessing to those who've hurt you. Because the noise cancellation starts by the removing of the negative, but it increases with the speaking, the blessings, which is the positive side. And it's all given, we've all been given this capacity because of the blood. If you've been hurt very, very deeply, you really need the Lord to help you. But it starts by that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He said it. Let me give you an example. Let's say someone rejects you very deeply, and you feel the pain of that rejection very deeply, like a stab in your heart. Here's what you do. I forgive them. And now, Lord, I speak the blessing of your love in their life. Where they have felt rejected because they give out rejection, I asked you to meet the deepest need of their soul and you would pour your love into their heart and take away the sting in their life. Bless them with your love. Bless them with your forgiveness. Bless them, Lord. How many of you, that's a hero of the faith that does that? How many of you received that kind of forgiveness? Freely you've received, freely give. Now I want us to drink this symbol of the blood of Jesus in honor of what Jesus has done in us and to empower what he does through us. Would you lift it up? Let's pray. Father God, I give you praise and glory for sending Jesus to die in my place and to wash my sins from me. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. You are good, good.